All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Yes, this is the second trip down memory. No, I'm not going to bore you with that stupid music. By the way, that's my alarm. I wake up in the morning to that silly tune. So I thought I'd play that when we take a trip down memory lane because it's the most ridiculous tune I've ever heard. Anyway, getting back to this, another trip down memory lane. This is just a couple months after this event on the Forrest Hall with John McCain. Shortly after leaving a party on Chappaquiddick Island, Senator Edward Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts drives an Oldsmobile off a wooden bridge into a tide-swept pond. Now, you know, I mean, you remember him towards the last years of his life. I mean, this guy had a bulb. This guy was a drunk, okay? I mean, he was – and part of the reason that he was probably a drunk might have had something to do with this. And I think part of the reason why John McCain becomes increasingly more – oh, God, what would I say, schizophrenic or crazy, just downright crazy, is because, you know, he became a puppet of the establishment. They said, well, we're going to take care of you. We're going to get you out of this, John McCain. You're going to become a senator, and you're going to be famous, and you're going to have an illustrious career as long as you do exactly our bidding, exactly what we tell you to do, and you don't question it. Well, over time, I'm sure that John McCain has probably taken his share of meds. But anyway, getting back to this, Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts drives his Oldsmobile off a wooden bridge into a tide-swept pond. Kennedy escaped the submerged car, but his passenger, 28-year-old Mary Jo Kopechne, did not. The senator did not report the fatal car accident for 10 hours. Now, that is what was the word I'm looking for? That would be gallant of you, wouldn't it? If you could picture Ted Kennedy driving off into a pond drunk, okay? He's got this 28-year-old intern, I believe she was, in the car, and the guy doesn't even rescue her, okay? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. If you're a real man, you're going to risk your life to rescue the woman. I would. Anybody that I know would. Any friend of mine would. But this guy escapes with his own life and doesn't try to save this girl, okay? Not only that, but he didn't report the fatal car crash for 10 hours. Now, on the evening of July 18th, 1969, while most Americans were home watching television reports on the progress of the Apollo 11 lunar landing mission, Kennedy and his cousin Joe Gargan were hosting a cookout and party at a rented cottage on Chappaquiddick Island, an affluent island near Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. The party was planned as a reunion for Kopechne and five other women, all veterans of the late Senator Robert F. Kennedy's 1968 presidential campaign. Bobby Kennedy was Ted Kennedy's older brother, and following Bobby's assassination in June of 1968, Ted took up his family's political torch. And in 1969, Ted Kennedy was elected majority whip in the U.S. Senate, and he seemed an early front-runner for the 1972 Democratic presidential nomination. But just after 11 p.m., Kennedy left the party with Kopechne, and by his account, to drive to the ferry slip where they would catch a boat back to their respective lodgings in Edgertown on Martha's Vineyard. And while driving down the main roadway, Kennedy took a sharp turn onto the unpaved dike road, drove for a short distance, and then missed the ramp to the narrow wooden bridge and drove into Pusha Pond. Kennedy was a married man. He claimed the dike road excursion was a wrong turn. However, both he and Kopechne had previously driven down the same road, which led to a secluded ocean beach just beyond the bridge. In addition, Kopechne had left both her purse and room key at the party. Now, think about that for a moment. What was he really doing, folks? Was that a little bit of extramarital hanky-panky that he was probably going to get involved in with Mary Jo? By the way, if you've ever seen pictures of Mary Jo, she was pretty hot. Okay. Kennedy escaped the car and then drove down in an attempt to retrieve Kopechne from the sunken Oldsmobile. Failing to do so, he stumbled back to the cottage. Stumbled back. He didn't walk back. He stumbled back because he was probably blasted out of his mind, where he enlisted Gargan and another friend in a second attempt to save Kopechne. The three men were unsuccessful. Her body was not recovered. The trio then went to the ferry slip, where Kennedy dove into the water and swam back to Edgertown, about a mile away. He returned to his room at the Shiretown Inn changed his clothes, and at 2:25 a.m. stepped out of his room when he spotted the innkeeper, Russell Peachy. He told Peachy that he had been awakened by noise next door and asked what time it was. He then returned to his room. Now, the question is, was Kennedy trying to establish an alibi? In Leo Damore's senatorial privilege, The Chappaquiddick Cover-Up in 1988, that author recounts an interview with Joe Gargan in which Gargan claimed that Kennedy had plotted to make Kopechne the driver and sole occupant of the automobile. Whatever Kennedy's intentions were on the morning of July 19th, he went back to Chappaquiddick Island and then returned to Edgartown. And at 9:45 a.m., 10 hours after driving off Dyke Road Bridge, Kennedy finally reported the accident to the Edgartown Police Chief Dominic Arena and admitted that he was the driver. Then on July 25th, Kennedy pleaded guilty to leaving the scene of an accident. Now think about that, folks. Here's a woman that died. Here was a woman that was a passenger in a car that Ted Kennedy was driving, and she drowned, and this guy was drunk. And he pleaded guilty to nothing more than leaving the scene of an accident. He received a 2-month suspended sentence and had his license suspended for a year. And that evening, in a televised statement, he called the delayed reporting of the accident indefensible, but vehemently denied that he had been involved in any improprieties with Kopechne. He also asked his constituents to help him decide whether to continue his political career. Receiving a positive response, probably by the people who now owned him, he resumed his senatorial duties at the end of the month. See? He did something really, really bad, folks. So they came in there like the snakes that they are in the swamp and said, "Don't worry about it, Ted. You're going to have a nice, illustrious career as a senator. Oh, you're not going to be the president now. We can't do that. Okay, but you're going to be a senator for a long, long time, and you're going to enjoy the rest of your days, and you're going to do exactly what we tell you to do, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes, sir," and that's what happened. Now, there is speculation that he used his considerable influence to avoid more serious charges that could have resulted from the episode. But although the incident on Chappaquiddick Island helped to derail his presidential hopes, Kennedy continued to serve as a U.S. Senator of Massachusetts into the 21st century, all the way up to his death, folks. So that's the way it works. And I wanted to just make a quick mental note about this because, yes, if you're looking, if they're looking to appoint you to an office, they're not looking for somebody squeaky clean. They're looking for somebody who's got something in their closet, you know, somebody that maybe likes little boy, or maybe they like to cross dress. There's something there that they don't want the public to know. And the powers that be that appoint you to that office, they know that little something. And by the way, if they don't, and if they decide that they're going to place you in there anyway, they're going to do everything they can to put you in a compromising position so that they do have that or whatever it is on you, so that they can blackmail you. And that's the way it works, folks. So, takes me back a little bit to Donald Trump. What he did the other day, okay, when they were looking for the votes to impeach him on whatever nonsense they were trying to conjure up, he just gave them carte blanche by the action he pulled unconstitutionally and against the UN Charter. Now, the question being, when I had mentioned a little while ago, okay, and I said, "Man," he came out and mentioned that we're not going into Syria. And I said, "No, not yet." Okay, are they going to hold that over his head? Are they going to continue? Because, again, in light of him doing what he did, that gives ISIS carte blanche to continue to create these false flag chemical attacks, because the evidence is pretty clear that it was ISIS or al-Qaeda that did it anyway, or al-Nusra. I believe it's Al. No, maybe it's either al-Qaeda or ISIS. I get them mixed up. Sorry about that. But that being said, he's playing in an arena with people that are, I would say, probably 5 light years beyond regular business people. I spent 20 years in the estate planning business, in the insurance business, and I have to tell you, folks, that business was a very corrupt business. There were a lot of, you know, less than ethical people in it. Real estate, the same way. I mean, anytime, the more money that you make as you escalate up through the ranks, the more tricky or slipperier the slope becomes. And in the world of politics, and I'll just throw that out there, I think I might have mentioned this last week on John Stadtmiller's show. I was looking up the salary for congressmen, and the salary for congressmen currently is $177,000 a year. Nancy Pelosi's been a congresswoman for 30 years. She was elected to Congress in 1987, so that's 30 years this month, I believe. You answer this question for me. At $177,000 a year, how does this woman accumulate over a 30-year period $192 million? Does that make any sense to you whatsoever? Got a caller on the line. Let's go to the Reb in Colorado. You're on with Michael. How you doing, Reb?
This is Reb from Bubba Scout Reb, federal witnesses atop the U.S. government and the United States of America, paid for by taxpayers and under U.S.
Are you using my platform on my show to run a commercial here, Reb?
No, I'm going to tell you something. You'll be real interested.
Okay,
this soldier in 1995, an outstanding American. There wasn't no broadcast that could stand up for him. His name was Mike New, and he refused to wear the blue beret of the United Nations. You know, he was court-martialed, right?
I think I may have heard something about this. Go ahead.
And, well, a couple of years later, when Bubba was anointed, when we talked about this, and we said, how the hell did the foreign wars, nobody, VFWs and all these American patriots, nobody stood up for him. And in 2004, I'm reading it, this black robe man, he gave in New York, he said he upheld that court martial. They can be forced to wear the UN insignia and the blue beret. And he upheld the court martial. And he was an outstanding medic and everything. And he was going to patrol Macedonia and some. But they didn't, they kicked him out. Well, Bubba and I said, you know, somebody's got to do something about that. And we're now at the top of the chain of command. We got this to the top level. And we try to tell that to the National Command Center. They don't want to hear about it. But somebody in America is going to say, you know something? It's about time we put this place in order. I mean, they can order U.S. troops to do it, like you were just talking about. Oh, they haven't sent them in yet. But who knows what insignia they'll make them wear the next time they send them somewhere, unless we do something about it.
Well, that's the key issue is that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we haven't done it yet. And Trump is announcing and I hate to use it, and I'll use this word a little lightly. I think Trump he calls it a learning curve. I call it naive.
Yeah, you got it right on the head. They know it's the National Command Center. He don't know what the hell he's doing. But they're not. And I talked to Secretary of Defense. They had to run. I said, hey, this mad dog, maddest man, he's covering for whatever action they took today. And this all goes back to that 1995 court-martial. There was nobody like you on the air. You weren't even on the air then. This was over 20 years ago. But I talked, and Bubba and me and Scout, we agree. Somebody's got to stand up and say, hey, no, we're not serving foreign enemies. They're here in America. They took over. But we're not going on their, you know, juggernauts somewhere we don't belong. And we're right in position to do that now. Back then, we didn't have nothing. It's like, we don't like it. Ah, shut up, you. Now we're three unknowns, Jerkwater USA, and we're going to stand up for that man. I don't know what's happened to him. Maybe you could search him out on the Internet. He probably has a ruined life. I don't know. He's kicked out. But, well, if we don't do something, nobody's going to do anything. And you make us do our obligation. Because we said back then, in the 90s.
We're trying to expose it. All right. Thanks for the call. I got to let you go, man. I got to get back to work, but thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And, yes, good points. Okay, so anyway, in closing, yes, the powers that be, they took that situation with Ted Kennedy and they let him stay. But they let him stay because he was compromised and they could control him. John McCain, same thing. He had a higher up. He had powers that were higher up, and his father was an admiral in the Navy. They let him stay. He got into the Senate. Okay, they made him a hero, but they only did it because they could control him. And there are many people in politics right now. And if you think real hard about it, you know, there's a high-ranking person right now. and I, this is just one off the top of my head, and you saw him quite a bit during the campaign, that rumor has it that he's a cross-dresser. I'm not going to mention his name, but I think you know who he is. I think during 9/11, he was totally controlled and manipulated, and I think that might have been why. Because that's a deep, dark secret that has gone out to a few people. But if you think about it, okay, all of these people, and if they don't have anything on them when they come in, let's take a genuine, heartfelt congressman or a senator that's running for the Senate, and they actually get lucky enough to get in. I mean, Donald Trump wasn't really lucky. He had a great campaign speech. He had a great platform. He was really hitting home with the American people. But I'm not talking about that level. I'm talking about Congress or the Senate. And if they get in, they will set them up in situations to where they're compromised. You know, what do you like? Do you like women? Do you like men? Do you like little boys? Do you like, you know, hookers? What do you like? And then, you know, they'll take them out, party with them, maybe slip them a roofie, get them drunk, whatever they have to do, and then they'll film them. That's what they do. Then they control you. Then you're going to do their bidding, or you're going to be exposed for the deep, dark little secret that was in your closet. That makes total sense to me. I never thought of that up until about 2 years ago, and it was somebody brought it to my attention. I said, you know what? I would hate to believe that, but it's more likely than not that that's true. And as time has gone on, and I've watched some of the shenanigans being played out by these politicians, you know, with the arrest of Dennis Hastert, and especially, and I don't want to get into a lot of this, but the child trafficking and the pedophilia, you know, there was this whole thing about Pizzagate on YouTube videos and so forth. I want to stay away from that because there is indeed child trafficking going on. There is indeed pedophilia going on. And it seems to be a very, very deep, dark secret. And when people started pushing on that, that's when all of the defense mechanisms started coming out on the left. And that's where all the shouting and that's where all the flak was being thrown up so fast and furious that they were trying to detract from what that issue is. I believe it is a very, very major issue. But I'm not going to get into that. I may at some point in time, but I'm not going to get into it right now. At any rate, let me move forward here. Okay, so we got that issue. I've got one more here. Let me take a look at what this is. This has to do with McCain. And so I want to make sure I don't miss it before I move into the next topic here. So just give me a second here. Let me pull this up, folks. I don't have a printer. And so the articles that I'm pulling up via the net. Okay. And of course, now here's a prime example. John McCain. This is a quote from John McCain. Russia cooperated with Syria in the chemical attack. Now, this man has absolutely not one shred of truth to that. There is no evidence. There is no nothing of that. But yet he said it. He accused Russia on Monday of having cooperated with Syrian government forces in a chemical weapons attack that has killed more than 80 people, including more than a dozen children. Now, why do you think he would say that? I'll tell you why. Because he's being controlled by these people. He will parrot anything they tell him to say because he has to. Otherwise, they'll expose him. There's no other logical or plausible explanation for it, folks. I can't think of any, can you? The Republican senator said at a press conference in Belgrade, and speaking of the Republican senator, a Republican senator that is siding totally with the far-left Democrats and accuse Rand Paul of being a Russian agent, I'm sorry. Does that sound like a Republican to you? The Republican senator said that at a press conference in Belgrade that he believes the Russians knew about the chemical weapons because they were operating exactly from the same base. He said the U.S. launched the cruise missile strikes last week against the Syrian base in a response of a chemical attack. Does that sound like a Republican to you? And I've got a picture of him here with a look on his face. This guy looks crazed. His eyes look like he's on some kind of drugs. He's got a look on his face like he's miserable with himself. I don't know. I would just hope he's not long for office. I hear the break coming up. We'll be back in three. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about this latest statement by Sean Spicer today at a press conference. See you in three.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Back with the American Awakening. Now, you may have heard, if you're an avid RBN listener, and a lot of us are, we just kind of turn it on and let it run throughout the day. I heard this, I think it was on Rivero's show, but Sean Spicer stuck his foot in his mouth today, and he came out and made a statement comparing, not comparing Hitler, but saying that Hitler didn't even do what Donald Trump did, what Bashar al-Assad did. And boy, did he stick his foot in his mouth, because basically he just said that there was no Holocaust. Anyway, Mike, go ahead and play that clip, and then I'm going to comment on it. Go ahead, Mike.
You look, we didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons.
Opportunity to clarify something you said that seems to be gaining some traction right now. Quote, Hitler didn't even sink to the level of using chemical weapons. What did you mean by that?
I think when you come to sarin gas, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that Assad is doing. I mean, there was clearly, I understand your point. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was not in the, he brought him into the, to the Holocaust Center. I understand that. But I'm saying in the way that Assad used them, where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent into the middle of towns. It was brought to it. So the use of it, I appreciate the clarification there. That was not the intent.
So I just want to make some brief comments.
Okay. There's another additional clip of about 6 minutes that goes on, but you heard him stuttering and stammering because basically he was busted. To continue to, and everybody was in an uproar about this because, and the, Israel, you know, the British prime, or the, excuse me, the Israeli prime minister, they're going, what? Ah! You know, that blows their whole theory. And by the way, you know, I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you, Spicer, because I've gone in and looked at the records and I've done extensive research on the Holocaust. And by the way, I'm not saying that there wasn't Jewish people that died in prison camps. I'm not going to say that. Okay. But I do know this, that I went in and looked at the Red Cross records of what they had determined of the amount of people that died in the German prison camps in World War II. And I haven't looked at it probably in 2 or 3 years. But the figure was somewhere around, I think it was either 273,000 or 289,000, something like that. But it was nowhere near 6 million. Okay, so being clear here is that, yes, a lot of people died in World War II. There's a lot of Jewish people that died in World War II. But, you know, when the camp, which has been turned into a, what do you call it, a tourist center, Auschwitz over there in Germany, their sign used to say that 4 million people died in this concentration camp. And I believe it was 1973. They had to change it down to 1 million. Now, that's a big difference. Okay, that's 3 million people that now they claim didn't die in that camp. Well, if they didn't die in the camp and there were 6 million people that died somewhere, where did they die? All right, well, the Red Cross can account for 273,000. And let's just be generous and let's say that, you know, 1 million died in Auschwitz. Okay, well, there's another million. So 1,279,000 Jewish people died in the prison camps. That's a far cry from 6 million. But we have been spoon-fed, at least as long as I'm alive, and I'm sure, yes, after World War II, even with my parents, that 6 million Jews died due to the hand of the Germans in prison camps in World War II. And by the way, Spicer, you said you wanted to clarify that and say, well, no, they didn't use chemical weapons. According to the alleged, or according to the propaganda put out by mainstream media and the lie that's been propagated on us for the last, what, 70, 75 years or whatever it is, 80 years. I'd have to do the math from 1941 up. What is that? That'd be 60, 70, almost 80 years. Okay. Zyklon B is a chemical weapon. And that's what Hitler allegedly used on these people. Now, David Kohl went to Germany along with another guy. I can't remember what his name was, but they went through and they looked at the actual rooms in which these people were supposedly gassed, and it just didn't make sense. It didn't work. It didn't fit. And Bergen-Belsen and a number of these other camps where they were supposed to have buried the bodies, they weren't there. So my the evidence that I've been able to conclude is that, yes, there were Jewish people that died in the prison camps, but there was a lot of people that died in the prison camps, not just Jewish people. So I do not believe that figure is 6 million. And not only that, but I've gone back through and looked at newspaper articles all the way back to about back in the 1917. And that figure 6 million has come up, I believe, at least 22 times when it involved the Jewish people. So we'll be back after the break. I'm going to shift gears. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening. Phone lines are open if you want to call. I'll be right back. What it is you think I
should. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443 if you want to have a question, comment, if you just want to vent, you want to insult me or whatever you want to do. Anyway, you know, God, I have to tell you, now I know you guys are, you know, you're probably the wisest audience on any radio network in the country. And there's no doubt about that. What I'm going to come up with here is not necessarily for you. I want to explain to you that what I intend to do with this is I'm going to take the archives and link the archives to RBN, to my shows, into my website. And I'm taking my website on Facebook and YouTube like Michael Rivero does. And ultimately, in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to be going televised on YouTube and Facebook, just like Rivero. I want to reach people that aren't awakened. So I'm going to come into some subject matter, if I have time, that you're already aware of, I'm sure. But before I do that, let's go to Bruce in Texas. Bruce, you're on with Michael. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi. I'm here.
Hi. I have you on speakerphone. Can you hear me okay, or do I need a switch?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. You're better off if you're not on speakerphone, but that's okay.
Okay, I just shut it off. First, I was going to call you about half an hour ago as you were talking about McCain's and before that the situation in Syria and the accusations of gas use on the part of Assad. And I was going to criticize you for not bringing up the elephant in the room. But I'm glad I didn't, because you turned a corner there in terms of speaking the truth about the Holocaust. And so I just wanted to congratulate you on that. And I like what I'm hearing. Also, I think it would be a good idea to bring back the former situation or the former host about once a week or so to get updates.
Yeah, that's what we're intending to do. I'm going to Bruce. I'm intending to call him. As a matter of fact, I was just having a conversation with my board op on that during the break, and I'm going to notify John. I'm going to call Eric tomorrow, and I'm going to invite him up for an interview, and I'm going to pose that question to him. He may not want to do it. I don't know, but we'll see. But I am definitely. I've got it on my list of things to do to call him tomorrow. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and you brought up Rivera a couple of times. On Fridays, he has his wife come up, Claire. She's a very eloquent, well-spoken lady, and presents her views on the topic. I don't know if you want to approach the owner on this idea, or maybe you want to take it up on your own when you establish your website. If any listeners have a topic they want to discuss for half an hour or so, present the evidence or present the information that they have to you, and if you feel it worthy of discussion, have like maybe give a donation of a certain amount, and then you can have a half an hour with the host hashing out the topic that we discussed. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea, and I'll put that out right now for the listening audience. If you folks have a particular topic that you want to discuss, or you have a specific guest that you think I should have up on the show for interview, and I think the donation would be a fantastic, not for me, but for John, to keep RBN up and rolling, because I have to tell you, I've known John for 10 years, and John is always on the cusp. He does everything he can do to keep this network up and rolling, even to the point of having to eat beans at times instead of eating hamburger. So, yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea. And Bruce, you know, any topic that – do you have some topics in mind that you do want to discuss?
Well, I'll repackage it and get everything sorted out. And then how long do you think it'll be till you have your own website? Because I don't do Facebook.
Well, my website is already up. The only problem I'm having, I mean, everything is done. The only problem I'm having with it right now is how to manage and maneuver it from behind the scenes. I went in there and looked today, and it's all Greek to me. I have another RBN listener that's redesigned and set up my whole website, and I give him accolades. He did a good job. Yeah, a couple things he did, you know, I kind of wasn't real happy with, but when I looked at it, I said, you know what? This is good. This is sufficient. But the problem that I have is just uploading videos to it and blogs and that sort of thing. In the back end of the site, I really don't know what I'm looking at. But, you know, I'll be happy to, you know, if you want to send me an email, I'll give you my email address over the airwaves, and you can email some subject matter to me if you want.
Sure.
Okay. It's Discerner, DISCERNER. 12000@yahoo.com.
Discerner, yes, CERNER.
Yeah, Discerner.
12000.
12000@yahoo.com.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to just close with this. You called OW, and he made that statement, that famous statement in a press briefing or something. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. You call that? I like to twist that around and say, you're either with the liars or you're with the truth.
Well, when somebody comes out and makes a statement like that, when George W. Bush came out and said that, at the time we were naive and we didn't know what that meant. When he said, you're either with us, we thought he meant you're with the American people. But what he actually meant is you're either with the globalists or you're with the terrorists. That's what he really meant. We didn't know it at the time.
You're with the truth or you're with the liars. And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, because the globalists are liars. But anyway, if you got anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, let you go. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call, Bruce. Thanks a lot. And, yes, send me an email, okay? Okay, let me shift gears here. And the reason I brought this up, folks, is because I'm attempting to put this out on Facebook and YouTube, like Michael Rivero does, and approach people that aren't awake. And you know what? Some of the content, a lot of the content that we put out on this network for people who are really unawakened Americans, the sleeping ones, if you will, they find it hard to believe. It's like feeding pablum to a baby before they grow teeth and are able to eat. So, you know, I've gone back and forth with this, and I'm going to give you an example here in just a couple minutes. I've gone back and forth with this to try to figure out how to tactfully disseminate information and give them bits and pieces as opposed to just throw it out all at once. And I haven't been able to come up with a plausible answer for that yet. So any help that you might be able to give me, if anybody else out there has copied down my email address, I'd welcome your input. But again, I want to reiterate, if you folks have a guest that you think, you know, that they have a topic that needs to be discussed, or you have, you know, like Bruce said, if you, you know, if there's a forum that you want to discuss and come up on the air, I think the donation thing is an excellent idea. I would have to think about what to charge for the airtime, and all of the money coming up for that would go to RBN to pay some of these back bills that John has. But thank you again, Bruce. That's an excellent idea. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bring that to John's attention the next time I talk to him, which will probably be this week. Brilliant idea. John is always looking for other ways to increase revenue to the network, and so am I. I've thrown a couple of things out there at him, and he's mulled it over. And I've tried in the past to do it. I did it, a lot of you folks may know, I did it with carrot bars. And boy, that was a heck of a lot of work for not very much money, I'll tell you that. But anyway, I'm going to shift gears here and get into another topic. And I think maybe you folks can relate to this, because when Trump was elected, even before he was inaugurated and all the way through the inauguration and up until just recently, you know, these social justice warriors have been out, you know, protesting and sometimes rioting and breaking windows and tossing garbage cans over, you know, and you know the ones I'm talking about, these snowflakes with bones in their noses and red hair and weird looking shoes and people that are very insultive. They don't have an argument against us. They don't want to argue. They just want to bash. And I have a question for those people. The problem is that those people don't listen to this network. And this is why I want to access them. Because there's one in particular that I saw that was – she was in a protest. I believe it was in New York, and it could have been Madonna may have been there. But – and you may – this may strike a nerve with you folks. She was wearing a hijab, and she was touting about how wonderful it was to wear a hijab, and she was singing Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And all of these social justice warriors were – you know, clapping along and shouting and raising their hands in the air. And they were just having a great time thinking that this is a wonderful thing to let these people in, you know, all of these unvetted refugees. They have, you know, how do I put this? I guess my message to them would be careful what you ask for, as you just might get it, because they evidently, obviously do not know that what they're asking for is Sharia law. I mean, it's not – you want to walk around with a hijab on it. Now, if you want to practice, you know, Islam, if you want to be a Muslim in this country, that's fine. There's a lot of Muslims in this country. But if you want to come in here and you want to bring Sharia law into this country, and you expect the women in this primarily Christian nation, okay, or, you know, the Jewish people or the Hindu or the Buddhists or whoever, if you expect these people to submit to your law, you've got another thing coming. And Donald Trump is very aware of this, and this is why he had implemented or tried to implement these two executive orders, not for a Muslim ban. It was an illegal immigration ban to vet these people that are unvetted, that we don't know how to vet, to bring them in to begin with. And these two left-wing judges, one of which is a friend of Obama's, stopped it in the mix. Okay, but I want to take the balance of this show – not so much for you guys to listen to, because I know that you probably already know this, but I want to let these people know that are ignorant and that are out there proposing or, you know, giving credence to these radical Islamists coming in here, because they don't know what they're asking for. So let me continue with this. According to Sharia law, theft under Sharia law is punishable by amputation of the right hand. I'm sure they don't know that. If you criticize or deny any part of the Quran, it's punishable by death. Now remember, Islam is not a religion of faith or love. It's a religion of submission. Criticizing or denying Allah, the God of Islam, is punishable by death. And for those of you, if any, don't know, Allah was there, or, you know, that's the God of Islam who took a wife at age 6 and he took her virginity at age 9. A Muslim who becomes a non-Muslim, it's punishable by death. In other words, once you become one, you can't get out. It's a big club. You join it, you can't get out of it. A non-Muslim man who marries a Muslim woman is punishable by death. You marry a Muslim woman, you're a Christian, you're dead. They'll kill you. If you're in a country, or if you're in an area, which there are areas here in the countries, from what I understand, in some of these sanctuary cities that are practicing Sharia law and the regular statutory law, they're turning a blind eye to. This is serious business, folks. A man can marry an infant girl and consummate this marriage when she is 9 years old. Hold on to your seats, folks. Girls' clitoris should be cut. Muhammad's words, book 41 in the Kitab al-Adab, hadith 5251. A woman can have one husband, and he can have up to 4 wives. Muhammad, of course, can have more. A man can beat his wife for insubordination. Now, let me stop there for a moment, remind you, you know, all the domestic violence that goes on in marital situations here. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have what's going on here? And that's a kind of a controversial subject, because it's a subject that holds true with me, because I have a son that was married and was literally beaten by his wife for several years and never laid a hand on her. And it wasn't until I told him, and I didn't even know about it until towards the end, it wasn't until I told him to record her when she was doing it that he did so. She called the police came out, listened to her story, they were going to arrest him, and he said, before you arrest me, let me play this for you. He played the recording, they arrested her. And this goes on all the time, because there's a lot of women in this country that use law enforcement as a weapon against men. I'm not saying they all do. I'm saying there are women out there that do. That's all. And I'm sure there's same men that do the same thing in other aspects. So I'm not pointing a finger at women. A man can unilaterally divorce his wife, but a woman needs her husband's consent to divorce. Does it sound kind of one-sided to you folks? A divorced wife loses custody of all children over the age of 6 or when they exceed it. If she has 2 children, they're both over the age of 6, 9, 10, 11 years old. She needs permission to divorce her man. Her man can divorce her and take the kids. The testimonies of 4 male witnesses are required to prove rape against a woman. Think about that. The testimonies of 4 male witnesses. Now, if you're a male witness and you're a Muslim, are you going to testify against a woman? No. You're not going to do that. So that is, it's almost, you know, it's not doable. A woman would lose every time. A woman who has been raped cannot testify in court against her rapist. Think about that. She cannot testify against her rapist. How one-sided is that? A woman's testimony in court allowed in property cases carries 1/2 of the weight of the man's. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me, if you go to court, you got a ticket from a police officer, your testimony carries 1/2 the weight of the police officer. The police officer is likely going to win. That's the balancing scale in that matter, okay? The ratio, if you will. A female heir, like a sister or brother or whatever, inherits 1/2 of what her male heir inherits, like her brother. A woman cannot drive a car, as it leads to what is called fitna, or upheaval. Let's see. A woman cannot speak alone to a man who is not her husband or relative. Meat to eat must come from animals that have been sacrificed to Allah, i.e. be what is called halal. Okay. Muslims should engage in what is called a takaya. In other words, to lie to non-Muslims to advance Islam. So they'll tell you anything you want to hear and lie through their teeth at you if you're not a Muslim. The list goes on and on, folks. And so if you want to look it up, you could look up or Google Sharia law in America, UK, Europe, and Saudi Arabia. But there's a point that I want to make here to these social justice warriors and these snowflakes that are out here that are, you know, condoning this and thinking it's wonderful to do. And I want you to consider this deep in thought, folks, because our government is just as culpable. Do I hear the music? Yes, I do. When I get back, I'm going to take the final segment of this show, and I'm going to tell you how our government is culpable in this. See you for the final segment, 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe, you know, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back. Final segment of the American Awakening. Now, I'm going to tell you how our government is culpable in this, because they are the people that are putting out this propaganda through mainstream media, and they are poisoning the minds of these poor millennials, these social justice warriors and so forth, that think that they're doing the right thing because they don't have a critical mind. They're not thinking deeply. They haven't been raised to do so. But Christianity and Sharia law are totally bipolar. Sharia law is bipolar to biblical law, is bipolar to American statutory law. So I want you to think about something for a moment. Because this is what our government has been doing for quite some time. They're doing it in Syria. They did it in Libya. They're doing it, or they did it in Iraq. I can go on and on. I'm not going to give you those examples, but I want you to think about something. Suppose for a moment that you in this country were invaded by an alien force. Say, you know, aliens from the planet Zuron. Just, you know, off the top of my head. They come here and they decimate our culture. They rape our women. They kill your mother. They kill your couple of brothers, a niece, a nephew, you know, and maybe one third or less of our population survives. And you just happen to be one of them. Or they, you know, like happened in Iraq, they decimate Iraq, kill over 1 million people, half of which were children, and, you know, another 1 million people in Iraq flee. Many of them come here, and our government sets them up in business. I'm not going to go there right now, but I'm just talking about this alien force comes in here and decimates our country. And when all is said and done, and you've lost everything that you love, all your assets, you've lost your home, you've lost all of your collectibles, you've lost your mother, you've lost your brother, you've lost two of your nephews and maybe a niece or two and a couple of second cousins. Then after all is said and done, these same invading aliens invite you to come to the planet Zuron and make a new life of which you are totally foreign to, totally alien against, have nothing in common with their culture whatsoever. And have no idea what to do when you get here. The only thing that you do know is it's this same civilization that decimated everything you knew in life and everything that you had. Are you starting to see now what I'm talking about? Does it make any sense to you to go over and bomb a country? I'll give you an example. Iraq is a prime example. Okay. Go over and bomb a country. Take everything they own, destroy everything they've worked for, ruin their way of life, kill their relatives, and then invite them to come over and live in the same country of the people that advanced against them to begin with. Do you think that you wouldn't be just a little bit pissed? So when we see what's happening over here with the Pulse nightclub and San Bernardino and countless other ones that happen here, the question that comes to my mind is really what is the back, not what the mainstream media, not the propaganda that they put out about who they were or whatever, but what who they really were. What was their real motivation for doing that? And did it have anything to do with what our government is doing? Think about that, and I'll see you tomorrow night. Have a good evening, folks. I'll give you something to sleep on. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. I'm through. Nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.